more missiles will fall today.
An explosion.
As the pandemic draws closer, another murder.
This is anti-Semitism.
People are panicking.
Over 1,000 missiles were shot. 2 dead.
Another school shooting. What a terrible day for the news. Another school shooting.
Racist rioters hit the street today.
Another riot broke out.
That shook.
Well, some people think it's just racist.
The surrounding neighborhood.
Jesus Christ is a source of all peace that God flows through him into our hearts. This peace is possessed by Christians only. The world, Jesus says, in the world you not have peace. My peace I give unto you, not a peace as the world knows, but a peace that I give. His peace, the source of this peace, comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. Anyone who does not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior does not have this peace that Isaiah writes about right here in these verses. That peace only comes to us through Jesus Christ, putting our faith and our trust in Jesus' finished work on the cross, and His precious shed blood brings that sweet peace that we sing about.
Well, thank you for joining Sharon Baptist Church. You're about to hear a message from Pastor James Strickland. Now, we are not a health, wealth, and prosperity church. So if you're looking for a big mega church, that's not us. I figure the smaller the church, the more biblical it is, and we're pretty small because we stick to the Bible. Find out more at SharonBaptistConcord.com. Come and join us or watch us live stream on Facebook, Sharon Baptist Concord, 10:45 on Sundays. God bless you. Here's James Strickland.
I don't know how you feel about today, not just today, but today. But I believe that God's people really need to exercise some good faith and some good peace in Christ Jesus. I'm going to preach today about peace for perilous times. I don't know if you think we're going through perilous times, but I believe we are. And I believe we're going to go through some more perilous times in time to come. So if you'll turn with me, please, in your scriptures to the book of Isaiah, chapter number 26. Isaiah chapter 26. I'm going to read verses 1 through 4 and share some thoughts of what God let Isaiah write many years ago to the Jews about peace that God only can bring. Peace in perilous times. Isaiah 26 and verse number 1. In that day. Now, what day is he talking about here? It was one of the darkest days in Israel's history. That day could be translated to today, couldn't it? We're going through some of the darkest days in America's history. But he says, in that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation, which keepeth the truth, may enter in. Now pay close attention to the next verse. That's going to be the heart of our message. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. As I said earlier, these words were written under the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God to Isaiah, to Israel, some of the darkest days in Israeli history. These words were not just for Israel alone. These words are just as applicable to us today as they were to Israel in those days. Now, it's important for us to look at these verses, because we're going through some dark days in our history, aren't we? It would be good for us to read these verses and remind ourselves of the peace that God promises us, just as He promised Israel in that day. There's words here that will help us for today as it helped Israel in that day. Now, we all would agree, would we not, that we're surrounded today by some gloom and doom and some depression and inflation's rising at a soaring rate. We're faced with three great, I guess you'd say, terrors: fear, doubt, and worry, and the world, of course. When all is well and our spiritual skies are just sky blue, everything's going well, We could read these verses and just kind of gloss over them and look at them superficially and not really get down to what the Lord's really saying here. But when the clouds of our spiritual skies start to darken and the storms begin to rage in our lives and things threaten us with darkness, disappointment, anxiety, and those things alarm us, and doubt and worry and fear start to drift across our sky, and our spiritual sun is hidden, these words become precious, don't they? They ought to become precious to us today. Indeed, they should. No promise anywhere you'll find in the Bible. Look it through and through and find it if you can. It's not there, don't believe. No promise in the Bible anywhere to anybody, so when you get saved, then is everything going to be just wonderful and lovely, and you'll never have a problem, you'll never get sick, you'll never die, you'll never have any doubts or worries or fears. There's no such promise made anywhere in the Bible to anyone concerning that. We're never promised when you gave your heart to Jesus that you'd never have any trouble. You never have wars to come, and certainly wars have come, and wars are on us today, and wars are going to continue. Fear. What good would freedom be if it was absent from having peace in our lives? God doesn't promise us we won't have loss. God doesn't promise us we won't have bereavement in our hearts and lives when our loved ones go to be with the Lord. But I tell you what He does promise. He promises something a lot better for Christians. We're promised the perfect peace of God to God's children. We're promised peace in perilous times. I saw a cartoon once, I'm sure I've told you about it years ago. It was a picture of a hurricane raging in one of the islands in the South Pacific. And this palm tree was almost just blown all the way over with the wind. And in the midst of those palm fronds was a little bird nest. And in that little bird nest sat two or three little birds just as at peace and calm, like nothing at all was going on. That spoke to my heart. Christians ought to be like those little birds in that little nest in the midst of that storm raging. Storms may rage around us. Storms may come to our lives. But we ought to be at calm and at peace in our Lord Jesus Christ. He promises us in our fiercest battles that we face in life. He promises us when storms rage all around us. He promises us peace in these perilous times. It's promised here in these verses to a trusting soul, those who put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, do you lack that peace in your life? Would you like to have that kind of peace in your life, that perfect peace that these verses talk about? Would you like to have that in your life? I think you would. I think all of us would if we'd be honest. Well, how do you go about that? What's he saying here in these verses? Allow the Spirit of God today to speak to your heart and speak to our hearts together, and let him speak to us about how God gives us that peace in these perilous times. There's about three things I want to share with you. First of all, notice this. The reception of that peace. It's described here as God's perfect peace. Now, if I had to ask you to describe in a definition or so, what would you say perfect peace really is? What is this? Can we find perfect peace today in this world in which you and I are living? I say yes, that we can. It's a condition of freedom from disturbance within your soul. Perfect harmony reigning within our lives. The Hebrew word shalom has a connotation with it that means spiritual health, spiritually healthy, if you will. Here the idea is spiritual health. To be filled with perfect peace is to be spiritually healthy and free from all discord within the soul. No room in the soul who's in having perfect peace, no room in the soul for any discord, for any jealousy, any envy, discontent, uncontrolled temper, selfishness, pride, criticism, fear, or anxiety. To the soul that's filled with perfect peace. All these factors described here are disturbing to the soul, are they not? This perfect peace is very practical indeed. None other than a great calm which God commands in our heart. In what sense is this peace that he promises here a perfect peace? Well, it's perfect, first of all, in its quality. It's a kind that it is. It's an imperfect peace sometimes we have because of our ignorance. Sometimes we try to convince ourselves that all is well with our souls as we've sung, and we know all the time all is not well. We know all is not well. It's an imperfect peace when it's a stagnation in your life. You can look at a pool of water, and on the surface, that pool of water might look cool and calm and clear, but below that surface, there's slime and there's dirt. That's the kind of peace a lot of people have, a stagnated peace. All looks well in their lives, but look below the surface of their life and you'll see the real truth that is there. And then one day the judgment of God cracks in that person's life and they have to come to reality and realize they don't really have peace at all. There's an imperfect peace of dependence on something or someone. If your peace is depending on something or someone, I promise you that something will fail you one day. That someone will fail you one day. And then when you put your peace in something or someone and they come to a point of failure in your life, then where is your peace? Well, God's perfect peace is perfect in its quality. But notice something else. It's perfect in its quantity as well. Did you notice God's people have sufficiently enough of God's peace to take us through whatever we're facing in our lives? There's no temptation, the Bible says, which has taken you, but that God will, with that temptation, make you a way of escape. The peace of God is a way of escape. Actually, it's a double peace, if you will. Perfect peace of heart and perfect peace of mind. It's a kind we need, isn't it? Don't we need perfect peace of heart today, all of us, and perfect peace in our minds as well? We need that, don't we? It calms our heart. It's double in that we experience with God peace and in God peace. Listen carefully. You will never know the peace of God till you know the peace with God. That peace with God is only found through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, God's perfect peace is perfect in its quality, in its quantity, but it's also perfect in its constancy. It's a permanent peace. It's not sporadic. Verse number 3 says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon thee." Have you ever read Psalm 121, verse 4? It says, "He that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep." So you see, the perfect peace of God is perfect in its quality, perfect in its quantity, and perfect in its constancy. It's always there in our lives. But there's a second truth I want you to see here. The revelation of this peace that Isaiah writes about here in these verses. How does that peace of God come to us today? How do you receive that peace of God? Well, we receive it in several ways. First of all, it comes from our Savior. Jesus Christ is a source of all peace that God flows through Him into our hearts. This peace is possessed by Christians only. The world, Jesus says, in the world you'll not have peace. My peace I give unto you, not a peace as the world knows, but a peace that I give. His peace, the source of this peace, comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. Anyone who does not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior does not have this peace that Isaiah writes about right here in these verses. That peace only comes to us through Jesus Christ, putting our faith and our trust in Jesus' finished work on the cross, and His precious shed blood brings that sweet peace that we sing about from time to time. So you see, that peace comes to us, first of all, through our Savior. Then it comes to us through the Scriptures. Listen to this verse. Psalm 119, verse 165. It says, "Great peace have they which love thy law. Nothing shall offend them. Another rendering here of the word offend could be nothing disturbs them. How often people disturb us, don't they? How often problems disturb us, don't they? The perils we're going through in our nation today, surely they disturb us, don't they? Well, here's a great promise to those who love the Word of God, who meditate upon the Word of God, and obey the Word of God. So you see, we get the peace of God through our Savior and through the Scriptures. But then also we get that peace of God through the Holy Spirit of God. Jesus secured that peace for us on the cross. He offers us that peace through Him as being the source. But it's conveyed to us by the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit of God. When the Spirit of God fills our heart and floods our lives, He produces that wonderful fruit of the Spirit. So we receive that peace through our Savior, through the Scriptures, through the Holy Spirit, but also through serving the precious Lord Jesus. I want you to listen to a couple of verses. In the book of Old Testament, the book of Leviticus, chapter 26, listen to a couple of verses the Lord told Israel. They apply to us just as much. He says this, "If you will walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, then I will give you rain in due season, and the land shall yield her increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit, and your threshing shall reach into the vintage, and the vintage shall reach into the sowing time, and ye shall eat your bread to the full and dwell in your land safely. And I will give peace in the land, and you shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid. And I will rid evil beasts out of the land, neither shall the sword go through your land." In Leviticus, service to God, he says, if you'll do these things, if you'll serve me, live for me, work for me, he promises us that perfect peace of God. The important word there in those verses is the word if. It's a conditional. You can serve the Lord, or you can choose not to serve the Lord. If you want peace, you serve Him. You meditate upon His Word. You love His Word. You obey His Word, and you serve Him, and God promises He'll supply this peace. If we'll do our part, I'm sure you know God will do His part, won't He? Amen? Also, we get that peace through our own supplication to the Lord. Listen to another verse in Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter number 4, verse number 7. "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Those words are promised on condition of keeping what it says here in verse number 6. Listen to this. Verse 6 says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." So then that peace of God's conditioned upon our service and our supplication unto Him. It's promised to us in verse 7, conditioned on obeying what it says in verse number 6. So you see, the revelation of that peace comes to us through our Savior, through the Scriptures, through the Holy Spirit of God, and through service and supplication. But now listen, as we conclude, there are some requirements of receiving that peace. There's two conditions here that we must meet to get that perfect peace of God. They're found here in verse number 3. Look at it again. "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon thee." All right, number 1. Mind must be stayed upon Christ. Doesn't it say in the New Testament, "Let this mind be in you, which is in Christ Jesus"? The mind must be there. Then it says, "The one who trusteth in thee." So it's mind and heart. One's of the head, one's of the heart. Listen, what's the difference between the two? With the head, you believe God is the author of peace. He's a giver of peace. He's able and willing to give that peace to us. But with the heart, you see, you trust God to do what He said, and then you receive this peace of God. This verse begins with God, thou, and ends with thee. Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. But you notice something about that verse. Between the beginning, thou, and the end of that verse, thee, comes the he. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon thee. So between the thou and the thee there, you see, in verse 3, comes the he or the we or the me or the you. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying this. You get between the thou and the thee and you stay there. Amen? Get your mind right with God. Get your heart right with God. Perfect peace is the Lord Himself ruling and reigning in us. It's not an experience that somebody has. It's not a doctrine. It's not anything else, but it's a code of ethics, a code of belief. When we're stayed on Jehovah God, it says in these verses, our hearts will be fully blessed. Then only shall we have that which He promised, which is thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon thee. Now this morning, I close shortly because I have a rather long invitation. I know we all desire that peace. Don't we? I want the perfect peace of God in my life, don't you? Certainly we do. But I also know life is tough. Life is difficult. Life is hard. Life is not fair. And I know we have perilous times and perilous situations that come into our lives that interrupt that peace. It shouldn't, but it does. And I know there's someone today, either with us here in this congregation or those viewing us on Facebook, those who may listen to us later on the radio, I promise you this, I know there's someone who needs that perfect peace. Maybe they feel like they don't have that peace today. They know if they don't. You know if you got the perfect peace of God in your heart, and you know if you don't. You know that. So then don't leave this place of worship. Don't leave this Facebook viewing. Don't leave this time. Don't leave this situation without having that perfect peace of God in your life to carry with you so you can have that calm in these perilous times that are upon us. And the Bible promises us, it sounds like a negative thought, but it's the truth. We're promised things will wax worse and worse. Folks, listen. Times are not going to get better. Conditions are not going to get worse. They're going to get worse and more perilous as time comes and goes until the Lord Jesus Christ comes again. So how am I going to make it, Pastor, through all these hard times that are upon us? And I can't hardly stand it now. How am I going to get through if things get worse than what they are? How am I going to make it? My heart's broken now. What am I going to do? I tell you what to do. You put your faith in Jesus Christ alone. Set your heart and your mind upon Him because He says, He promises us, thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. If you don't have your mind on the Lord, you're headed for disaster. If your heart's not right with God, you're headed for disaster. I don't want you to leave this place of worship. I don't want you to leave this viewing on Facebook. I don't want you to just close up what we said until you get that peace in your heart and life. Someone may today need to come to this altar and get on your knees and ask the Lord Jesus, Lord, I want that peace the pastor preached about. I know I don't have that in my life. My life's in turmoil. My heart's broken. My life's in pieces. I don't know what to do. I don't know where to turn. But He said, if I'd put my heart and mind on you, you'd keep me in perfect peace. Lord, I want to come to you. And maybe, first of all, you may need to give your heart to Jesus. Maybe you've never accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. If you haven't, now's the time. This is the place. This is the hour to do that. Then that perfect peace, Jesus says, my peace I give unto you. It's a perfect peace. It's a lasting peace. It'll last you till you see Him one day. Face to face. So the invitation is this. First of all, if you may not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, if you've never received Him, He stands today with arms open wide to receive you. Won't you come to Him today? You say, well, Pastor, I've already come to the Lord. I know I'm saved, and yet my life's still in turmoil. It's in perilous times, and I'm just so brokenhearted. Listen, He has peace for you. He has what you need. I repeat again, Jesus is right for whatever's wrong in your life. He'll promise to give you what you need in quantity, in quality, and in constancy. He'll give it to you today. So I invite you to come. Those of us who know we know the Lord, pray for those that may not know the Lord. Those of us who have that peace, pray for those who may not have that peace today. They can leave this place with that peace that passes all understanding. We can't understand it, but thank God we can experience it through Jesus Christ our Lord. And we must come to Jesus just like we are. If you'll come to Him this morning just like you are, if I can help you, I'll pray for you, pray with you, show you how to get Jesus in your heart, show you how to get that peace we preached about today. If you'd come today, God, I come. It's to the Lamb who was slain before the foundation of the world, who was crucified on the cross, who rose from the dead, who ascended into glory, who's soon coming again. That's the Lamb of God that I came to a long time ago. If you're saved, that's the same Lamb of God you came to when you got saved. He's the same everlasting God, the Lamb of God. Oh, Lamb of God, I come. Aren't you glad that the Lamb of God ever lives to intercede for us? And He still says, come, come, come. And please, beloved, read these verses again. Ponder over them. Let the Spirit of God speak to your heart. And when you receive that great, perfect peace of God, we have to say, thanks be to God who giveth us the victory in our Lord Jesus Christ. So when perilous times pile upon us, and they will, turn your heart to the Lord. Keep your mind on Him. Don't get on the economy. Don't get on politics. Don't get on the world. Get them on the Lord. And I promise you, you'll never be sorry that you did. Not now and not forever. Amen.
More missiles will fall today.
An explosion.
As the pandemic draws closer, another murder.
This is anti-Semitism.
People are panicking.
Over 1,000 missiles were shot. 2 dead.
Another school shooting. What a terrible day for the news.
Another school shooting. Racist rioters hit the street today.
Another riot broke out.
That shook.
Well, some people think it's just racist.
The surrounding neighborhood.
If the Lord's spoken to your heart, there's a need in your life, I'll help you if I can. I'll pray for you. I'll pray with you. We'll show you how you can be saved and know that you're saved and be ready to meet the Lord Jesus when He comes or when we leave this world. Would you do that?
That was Pastor James Strickland at Sharon Baptist Church. You can find out more about us on our website, SharonBaptistConcord.com. We have services Sundays. That's tomorrow. So come join us, 10:45 a.m., 2628 Shady Lane Avenue, right here in Concord, North Carolina. We'd love to have you come join us. 10:45 a.m. are our services. We have face masks. We have temperatures taken at the door. We practice the social distancing. So don't be worried about that. We're a small church anyway, but we read the Bible. We preach from the Bible. We're not one of those big mega churches where you're going to have to wear earplugs and we're going to have a big electronic light show with the smoke and all that stuff. We're going to preach God's word, which is what a church is supposed to do, is open the Bible and preach the word, not preach about their weekend or whatever. Anyway, we're going to preach the word of God. We hope you'll come join us. Check out our website for more. SharonBaptistConcord.com or watch us online on Facebook. We live stream our services 10:45 on Sundays, 7 p.m. on Wednesdays. Sharon Baptist Concord. God bless.